everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time.
Dad, here we go.
Touchdown! You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right, another week. And let me tell you, I am like a kid in a candy store because I had some new game film to watch this weekend as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 69. At the top of this week's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I chat with Eagles color analyst and former Pro Bowl wide receiver Mike Quick to talk about what he saw in the team's first preseason game and to get his thoughts on the performance of one Carson Wentz against the Bucks. Afterwards, Mike and I jump into Two Technique, where we talk about how to run the perfect post route down the field as a receiver. I think you're going to see a lot of deep posts in this Eagles offense this year. So Mike and I see exactly how that route should look on tape. Then we wrap it all up with maybe the biggest news of the day. The Eagles traded Dennis Kelly for wide receiver Dorial Green-Beckham, and he's going to be the subject of our scouting report segment at the end of the show. We have got a ton to get into today, so let's not waste any time. I caught up with Mike Quick to break down the Eagles' win over the Bucks. Let's get to that interview now in Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
Needless to say, very honored to be joined by Eagles legendary wide receiver and Eagles game plan analyst, Mike Quick. Mike, appreciate you joining us here once again on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. I wanted to get your thoughts, obviously, on the Eagles game last Thursday. I guess to start things off, I'll start with the big broad question that I'm sure you've gotten over a dozen times since Thursday. I know I have gotten over a dozen times since Thursday. Who stood out?
Who stood out? You mean other than number 11?
Yes.
Carson Wentz certainly, to me, stood out. And, you know, it's funny. Everyone was waiting to see Carson Wentz onto the field. And I thought it was great that the first time Doug Peterson puts him out there, it's in a two-minute situation where you don't really have a lot of time to think about it. It's just a reaction type of environment, and I thought he did very well. Really impressed with him. You know, physically, he's impressive. For that position, I don't think you can have a much better body than he has, that tall and 235 or 240, somewhere in that range. His mobility as a quarterback. I thought the thing that really stood out to me was how calm he was under duress. In stressful situations, the one time the ball snapped low, goes through his legs, you know, he didn't make anything happen, but just to get the ball, get out of harm's way, throw the ball out of bounds, just to reset and get another play. I thought just something as simple as that, I think it tells you a lot about a young quarterback like that. And I thought most of the night he was very calm in his decision-making, and he was not affected by the bright lights.
Yeah.
So to me, that he really stood out.
And so the other play that makes me think of along that same line of thinking – the early snap from the center,
yes,
where the entire defense came off the ball.
Right.
It was 1-on-5.
Yeah, and his offensive line, they're sitting still. Yeah. They're still in their stance,
yeah,
and the defense is in the backfield already.
Yep.
And still, under duress, he's able to come out of that.
Almost got a first down.
Yep.
It was an awesome play. I thought Carson had a very good debut. And it's interesting, too, going through, and I've watched a number of preseason games and seeing some of these other young quarterbacks who have made some plays. You know, Dak
right.
Prescott made some nice throws the
oh,
other
yes.
night for Dallas,
yes,
and Goff had his share of throws. But Wentz really impressed me with his pocket poise. I would agree that in terms of being under pressure, not folding up,
right,
showing the ability to look down the gun barrel and make some of those throws, as they say, was very, very impressive.
Well, and even the ability to recognize pressure. They came off of with a slot blitz twice, and he's able to pick that up. He threw the little slant to Paul Turner for one. But just that awareness of what's going on the field, there are veteran quarterbacks that sometimes will miss those types of plays, and I was just really impressed with him.
Absolutely, no question. So looking on the defensive side of the ball, were there anybody over there that really impressed you, that you came away with thinking like, all right, I feel really good about this guy moving into the season?
Well, there's a couple of obvious ones. You know, Fletcher got the strip sack, the triple.
Yep.
But I thought opposite Fletcher, you're going to have Benny Logan. I thought he played great.
Yep, I agree.
Bo Allen, I thought was great. So those guys, they're not going to get a lot of the tackles, but when they're able to collapse the pocket or just break down the offensive line, I mean, really disrupt the offensive line play, and so that your linebackers can run to the football and make the stops, they are not going to have the huge stats, but they make a huge difference in the way that defense plays. So I really like what Jim Schwartz is doing defensively with his guys and allowing those guys up front to use their athletic ability. Yeah, they're big. Yeah, they're strong. But they have the quickness that they can get into the backfield and be very disruptive. And, you know, that he's allowing them to use. And I think that's going to make a huge difference in the defense on the back end because they're going to be so good and so well taught up front.
Two guys that I was really impressed with, one on each side of the ball, injury concerns with both. And one was Ryan Matthews, obviously has missed a large chunk of camp.
Yeah.
Only had two carries and made both of them count. I thought they were two really hard-fought carries.
Yep.
Really good to see him finish both of those runs. And then Jordan Hicks, who obviously is coming off the torn pec from last year, had injury issues in college. It was really good to see him come in, assert himself at middle linebacker, and play at the level that he did over the first half.
And I think they're going to need Jordan Hicks to really be that guy on the defense. You know, he's only a second-year guy, but he's going to be the quarterback of that defense. He's going to be the guy that makes sure that everyone's aligned properly and everybody knows where they're supposed to be. He, along with Malcolm Jenkins. So he's going to be a vital part of what they're – and two, you know, this defense kind of works in waves, that front wave going up. But then the next level, the linebackers and the safety that's going to come to fill some of those gaps, they are so important in being in the right place and playing downhill. And Jordan's going to be a huge part of that.
No question. So a lot of the big discussion coming out of that game has been from the wide receiver position.
Yep.
What were your thoughts overall? I guess, obviously, look, it's a group minus Jordan Matthews, so you're missing one of your prime targets there, especially in the middle of the field. But on some of the performance of some of the other receivers in that game, especially early on.
Needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway, that the wide receivers, I'm very disappointed in the way they played. And – sometimes it just goes back to giving the right amount of effort, and I didn't see that. So I think when guys are playing hard, good things will work, good things will happen for them, but I didn't see the effort that you need to see. And to have a receiver in a one-on-one situation, and when he realized the ball's in the air, to try and pick up his speed and try and get – it's too late then. You know, every play you should be live. You should make sure that – whatever my assignment is, I'm carrying it out 100%, whether I'm getting the ball or not. But I didn't see that type of effort from the wide receivers. Even in the blocking game, very poor job of blocking on the perimeter a couple of times by the wide receivers. Just disappointed in general in the way they played, and they have to get better. If this team's going to do anything this year, if they can even be a middle-of-the-road type team, they're going to have to get a lot more production from the wide receivers core.
Yeah, and you hate to single anyone out in terms of that scenario, but I think when you talk about what this team wants, what this team needs in order to take that next step, you certainly want Nelson Agholor to take that next step and be that guy as a former first-round pick, especially deep down the football field.
Fran, I think you have to single him out because he's a first-round draft pick. So you're expecting him to be the guy in that room. So there are other guys that are good players, but Nelson Agholor being a first-round draft pick, this year you expect big things from him, and right now we're not seeing that from him. He has to play a lot better.
Yeah.
Even in the practices, he's just not. And so they bring in a speed guy, Chris Givens, this year, and he only got 5 snaps in the game.
Right.
So I know that they plan to play him a lot more in the Pittsburgh game on Thursday night. So hopefully he'll get on the field. And he's a guy that I think, at least in practice, he seems like he's a tough guy. And I want to see if he's really tough.
Yeah.
Or if he's just – if it's a facade.
That's the good thing about these games. You get to see that.
I want to see if this guy can really play or if he just, you know, talks tough. So really looking forward to seeing what happens with this receiving core going forward.
Conversely, in the secondary, another area where has drawn a lot of – some praise in some points and a lot of concern in others throughout the media and the fan base – I was impressed with them the other night. And you start from start to finish, whether it was the pass off in the secondary from Nolan Carroll to Rodney McLeod on the Fletcher Cox sack, which I highlighted in my article this week, whether it was C.J. Smith. I thought Jalen Mills was up and down, and over the last few days in practice, he had his moments where it was good, and then others where he looked like a rookie.
Yep.
I thought that Eric Rowe made a couple plays as well, so it was good to be able to see some of those young guys make some plays, but still a lot of area for growth as well.
See, I think that there's a great, healthy competition at that position.
Yeah.
In the secondary, there's a really good, healthy competition because guys know that they see the guy in front of them or they see the guy on the other side and they see how well they're playing. They know they have to step their game up. You're either going to step your game up or you're going to be somewhere else. There are a lot of numbers in those lines at the cornerback and the safety position, and guys have to play hard. You know, even Ed Reynolds. I see Ed Reynolds playing the best football I've seen him play since he's been here over the past couple of weeks. Jalen Mills, you mentioned, I really like that kid. I really like what he's doing. So with Malcolm and Leotis, just the whole bunch, I just think that there's going to – I think with what the defense is able to do up front and with the way these guys are sharpening their skills on the back end, I look forward to seeing what this defense is going to be able to do.
You're in the NFL for a long time, and you got to see a lot of these position battles, maybe not the ones that you were involved in on the back end of a roster, but getting a chance to see them up close. What are the separating factors as you get through these preseason games? What are the things that some of these players can do to set themselves apart from some of their peers?
Well, I think what Watkins was doing in the pass breakups, I think that's huge. Just positioning himself. You know, it seems like he – and I know they don't do a lot of game planning in these games, but it's almost like he kind of felt the routes or knew the routes like he was already in a game plan.
Yeah.
And able to cut off that inside dig route and get to the football. Those types of things. When you're able to bat balls down, when you're in good position, you're not getting penalties – that's huge. And the other thing, then you have to be able to contribute on the special teams. So these guys that are, you know, the fourth guy or the fifth guy, you got to be a teams guy.
Yeah.
You got to be on Dave Phipps special teams, and you got to be a contributor there. That's going to be the difference.
You and I are very, very keen on following the special teams depth chart throughout the preseason game. So that's definitely something I'm going to keep an eye on. So as we wrap it up, the last thing I want to ask you about is what is something going into Pittsburgh that you're excited to see that we didn't necessarily see this past week at Tampa? And for me, the big thing I want to see, you know, don't need to see it, but I'm excited to see it potentially, especially with the starters seeing more time, some more of these multiple tight end sets. We saw down on the goal line the three tight ends and how it impacted the run game. I'm excited to see what can be done in the pass game with guys like Zach Ertz, guys like Trey Burton out in the open field. That's something I'm excited to see potentially on Thursday.
Well I really look forward to seeing how they're going to mix and match the offensive line. Because there's a strong chance that you lose Lane Johnson for 10 games. That seems to be more and more the way this is going. So how do you then construct your offensive line to make sure that you're getting maximum protection? You're getting the best five guys on the field to protect your quarterback. That's going to be a key element to this offense and trying to establish the identity of this offense. To me, I want to start to see what this offense is going to be. How is this offense? What's the evolution of this offense? Is this going to be a run offense? Is this going to be a West Coast throw the ball all the time offense? I know it's a hybrid between the West Coast and, you know, a lot of the things that we saw from the Chip Kelly type of offense. But really, what is it? And right now, we don't really know what it is. And I'm looking forward to seeing exactly the identity of this offense.
No question. Well, Mike, you've been on the show before. You know that I can't let you leave without doing our little segment we call Two Technique. Let's dive in to the proper way to run a post route down the field.
Ooh.
Time to get inside the mind of a player. It's time for Two Technique.
All right, Mike, so Two Technique this week. I want to ask you to break us down from snap to finish the best way to run a post route down the field. Obviously, look, there's lots of different concepts that can be run in. We're not taking anything into account in terms of if there's other routes complementing it, if it's an isolation route or anything. But
okay,
from start to finish, what are you looking for if you know you're running a post route as a wide receiver?
The first thing you do when you break the huddle, you want to locate the cornerback and the safety. You want to know their technique. You want to know where the help is coming from the corner. Is he going to play you inside shade or if he's going to play you outside shade? Because it makes a difference. If he's going to play you inside shade, you leave him in there. Or you maybe try and widen him just a little bit on your stem as you approach him. And then make the turn as tight as you can to him, making it difficult for him to turn on the post stem of your route, and you head to the post. If he's playing you on the outside shade, same thing. You stem towards his outside shoulder so you can widen him just a little bit more to stay away from the safety and give the quarterback a throwing lane. You widen him, and again, you get up to him as close as you possibly can without touching him, almost stepping on his toes and making it difficult for him to get out of his back pedal, make the turn to follow you on the post part. And when you break that stem off to the post, you just blaze and get your head around and try and find the football.
Well, that's going to be my follow-up. Where are you expecting that football? Where is the best-case scenario for that ball to be placed?
I don't even think you look for the ball until you get on that post stem. After you stick him at the top of your approach stem, once you stick him and you take the first three steps on the post, then you get up, you get your head up and you start to look for the football, locate the ball, and run down the football. And hopefully the ball's out in front of you and you got to run it down and you reach out and catch it.
I do think that the post route, and look, it's a big part of any NFL offense, but I think with all the three-level stretches and some of the things that are incorporated into this Doug Peterson, Frank Reich offense, posts will be a big part of it. We saw last year Nelson Aguilar, his lone touchdown, came on that deep post against Buffalo. So, Mike Quick, appreciate the time as always here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast.
You got it.
Great stuff there from Mike. And I love getting his thoughts on this team because he's so tied into all these players, all these coaches, and he always brings an extra dimension to the show when he comes on. Real quick, before we move on to the scouting report this week, wanted to thank everybody out there for your continued support on social media and remind you that the best way to support this show is go on iTunes, go on Stitcher, wherever you listen, rate the show and leave us a comment. And if you make it a question, I'll definitely answer it right here on the podcast. And even if it's just a few kind words, those are always appreciated too. Big shout out to Jeremy Johnson 10, who left a message this week saying how much he enjoyed the show. So thanks to Jeremy and everybody out there for your continued support each and every week. All right, the moment you've all been waiting for, let's get to this week's scouting report on Doriel Green Beckham.
Dim those lights. We're headed to the film room for the scouting report.
All right, so last week we went through Trey Burton. Okay, it was the Eagles tight end. Really, really excited about what Trey can be for this offense. Now, if you go back and look at Trey in college, one of his biggest games, probably the biggest game of his college career, came against Kentucky, where he set an SEC record with touchdowns in a game against the Wildcats. Now, what does that have to do with Doriel Green Beckham? Well, if you go back, if you just, after this podcast is over, just go and Google Doriel Green Beckham versus Kentucky. He had three touchdowns in the first half of that game, and it really showed off his impressive physical skill set. So the Eagles now have two players that were Kentucky Wildcat killers during their time in college. But Doriel Green Beckham, let's just get to the notes. Again, physical specimen. I mean, he's 6'5", 237 pounds, considered by many as the top prospect in the country coming out of high school a few years ago. This is a guy that ran 4'4", at almost 240 pounds, a really, really impressive number. And when you get to the notes, fights through press coverage. He's able to win purely with his size at the line of scrimmage. Did that routinely when he was in college. No matter who was on the other side of the line of scrimmage, if you tried to press him, he was going to run through contact. And for a big guy on the field, he's got really deceptive speed. He'll run away from defenders in space. He profiles mostly, though, as a nightmare in those jump ball situations. He can win at the catch point consistently, out-muscling defensive backs in the air. And while he's not able to separate consistently with quickness at the top of his route, he's always going to have that length, and he'll always separate at the catch point with that length, winning in the big game, as my good friend Josh Norris from NBC Sports will say. Used often in the screen game as well at Mizzou, displayed good vision as a ball carrier, and he can be a good yards after catch guy, which you wouldn't expect, again, for a guy at 6'5", 240. Now, from a negative standpoint, there were times in Mizzou where he wasn't always on the same page as his quarterback. He wasn't a great route runner in college, and I mentioned that earlier. He wasn't always able to separate with quickness. He had sloppy feet, didn't try to hide his intentions all that well, just was not a very polished route runner with the Tigers. But there was something in terms of his size and his length, he was always able to kind of make up for that in some of those contested situations. Now, he also did have some drops on tape, especially over the middle. If there was going to be contact, they did have some drops that I thought he was able to work through. Now, I went back and I watched him against Tennessee, playing with the Tennessee Titans as a rookie. Some really, really impressive plays that I'll put in this week's Eagle Eye in the Sky article on Friday after the Eagles play the Pittsburgh Steelers. So keep an eye out for some plays there from Doriel Green Beckham last year as a rookie. But again, from what I wrote on him coming out of Oklahoma, capable of being a matchup nightmare on the perimeter. He's got the potential to be a beast at the catch point. He's got to improve in a lot of areas. And you see he expanded the route tree a little bit last year. That was an issue for him. All the reported off-field concerns in college, obviously those need to check out. But he could be a real problem for opposing defenses at the next level. All in all, really excited about this trade. You trade Dennis Kelly, who obviously, look, he did a really nice job here over the last few years. Keep people forgetting, he's one of the longest tenured Eagles now at this point. Got drafted in 2012, 2 days after Fletcher Cox was added. So has been around, has been with the program now for a few years. It was a nice, solid backup. But you trade a backup offensive lineman for a player that could potentially be an impact player on the perimeter. You needed more depth. We just got done talking with Mike Quick, and that way, obviously, I recorded that before the trade went down with Mike. You want to add more bodies on the outside, and Doriel Green Beckham surely brings another dimension that we currently don't have here in Philadelphia in this receiving corps. So really excited to see what he can do over the next couple of weeks. So thanks again to Mike Quick and all of you out there listening, whether you're on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, and of course on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app. Thank you. And again, if you get the time, go on, rate the show, leave us a comment, leave us a question, anything. We want to keep making everybody happy. So wherever you listen, just go and give us some love out there on social media and on your podcast distributors. But all that being said, I think that'll do it. Another show in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. For my producer, BT, I'm Fran Duffy. We will talk to you next week.